In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea and Herod was ruler of Galilee, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. Or put another way, in the 7th year of President Barack Obama, when Jay Nixon was governor of Missouri, during the episcopacy of George Wayne in the Diocese of Missouri, the word of God came to that community of Christians known as Emmanuel Episcopal Church in Webster Groves. And what was the word? Prepare. Prepare a way for the Lord. I find it interesting what a little difference in punctuation can make. The presence or the absence of a comma, for example, can alter the meaning of an entire sentence. So pay attention to where the colon is in our sentence concerning John the Baptist. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, colon, prepare the way of the Lord. I say pay attention to that colon, because if you look at the text from the prophet Isaiah that it's quoting, the colon's in a different place. In Isaiah, it reads like this: a voice cries, colon, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Maybe it doesn't seem like that much of a difference, but it made a big difference to me as I read it this week. You see, Isaiah, in essence, in that text, reminds us that it's precisely in the wilderness that we are called to prepare the way of the Lord. Maybe we don't want to hear it that way, but Isaiah reminds us that in our Advent preparation for the coming of Christ, it always begins in the wilderness. And I'm not talking about the wilderness of the Rocky Mountains. I'm talking about the wilderness of our lives. And perhaps ever more this week, the wilderness in our lives in a world of violence and death. But even in the face of the news from the last 2 weeks, I'm convinced that each and every one of us, somewhere in our lives, somewhere within our beings, are in a wilderness. It's not easy to pay attention to that. Wildernesses are dangerous places. Wild beasts roam the wilderness. Creatures come upon us unaware there. Creatures for which we don't have much defense. In the wilderness of each of our lives, there is pain and there is hardship. One doesn't have to be a backpacker or a hermit or a shipwrecked sailor to understand what I'm talking about. Think, if you will, of those times in your lives when you found yourself lost, wandering, not quite sure of your direction. Think how alone you have felt in the midst of those times. Or think of the times and places and situations where you've been fully vulnerable, completely defenseless in the face of the complexities and uncertainties of life. Think of how confusing, how unpredictable in those moments life can be. Think of the empty times of your lives. Think of the times you've been adrift. Times when all the familiar landmarks are no longer where they ought to be. I recognize that these are not necessarily images that give us reassurance and comfort, but like it or not, the wilderness is there in our lives. It's always there, waiting for us. And if we don't attend to it, if we close our hearts and our minds and ignore its presence, That doesn't make the wilderness go away. As a matter of fact, I'd suggest when we try to avoid the wilderness areas of our life, that's precisely when we find ourselves overwhelmed by it, engulfed by it. But still, rather than face the wilderness, we do love to keep busy, 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 busy. That's what our culture is all about, keeping busy. Think of anything that we can do to avoid the emptiness within. Always coming up with some new project, some new activity, some new program. Anything to distract us from what it means to be truly human. We run from the wilderness, trying almost desperately to pretend that it does not exist, that our lives are filled with happiness, that we're always in control, that our nation is truly prosperous, that no one really goes to bed hungry, no one will fall asleep alone in the outdoors tonight, that we're safe, while the rest of the world isn't. But then it happens. Advent comes upon us again. Advent, the time when we're called to once again enter into the wilderness. We may not like it, we may even try to avoid it, but if we would prepare for the coming of Christ, it is a calling we can't escape. You see, what we forget, perhaps even try to ignore, is the fact that God's saving activity, God's salvation, always begins in a wilderness. Consider for just a moment the history of salvation that's recorded in Scripture. From the very moment of creation, a creation depicted in our primeval mythologies as bringing order out of chaos, beginning even there, we find the genesis of our salvation in a vast, untamed wilderness. It was in the wilderness that our spiritual forebears, Abraham and Sarah, wandered in search of God's promise. It's in the wilderness of Sinai that the Hebrews under Moses grew from an undisciplined band of refugees into a people called by God for a purpose. It's through a wilderness that the people of Israel returned to Jerusalem from their long captivity in Babylon. It is in the wilderness that Jesus, after his baptism by John, wrestled with the meaning and purpose of his life and his ministry. No matter how you cut it, salvation begins in the wilderness. And the reason for this is simple. If we don't miss it, or maybe the fact is if we don't recognize it, because down deep we know it, even though we try to avoid it at all costs. The reason the journey begins in a wilderness, the journey to wholeness begins there, is it is only in the wilderness that we can come to terms that we are completely and utterly dependent on God. Those barren, dry, uncharted lands of emptiness, isolation, and dread teach us to know that there's absolutely no one and nothing that can fill our emptiness. The deserts of our lives convince us that only God and God alone can fill us and fulfill us. This simple truth, however, is one that we try to avoid with all our might. After all, we Americans don't like to depend on anyone, do we? And if we admit that we need others, we can't admit that they don't really fill us either. No human being, however much we love him or her, really fulfills our deepest longing for communion. No one, no loved one, no family, no community, however important for our well-being, can fully satisfy our longing for wholeness and healing and holiness. And that's why salvation begins, must always begin, alone in the wilderness. For in the wilderness, we come with agonizing slowness to be still. In the wilderness, we're forced to let God be God. In the wilderness, we learn how very limited we are, how very frail we are, how very powerless we are, how very limitless and vast God is. It's only by sojourning into the desert that we can come to know how to surrender ourselves more completely, more deeply to the wholeness and holiness of God. It's only by visiting and embracing the wilderness of our lives that we can come to trust God with our entire being. For God will ultimately bring us through the fog and darkness of the abyss of our own emptiness into a new perception of our relatedness, our deep relatedness to God, our deep relatedness to everyone on this planet and this whole created order. Brothers and sisters, in this season of Lent, I call upon you to enter into the wilderness. Take time. In the busyness of your preparations for Christmas, take time. Be still. Listen this morning to the voice which is crying. Prepare a place for the one who's coming. Know that even in your darkest moments, God is at work within you. God is at work within our lives, within our world. God is at work. Open yourselves to God's action. For it is only by entering the desert, only by acknowledging our ultimate dependence on God, that we can accept God's love and wholeness. It's only by acknowledging our emptiness that we can be filled with God's holy and life-giving Spirit. Amen.